Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in East County. Today, our very special guest is Matt Brower. Matt is a candidate for Superior Court Judge in Seat 37. He's a Deputy District Attorney and a Judge Advocate in the Marine Corps Reserve, with many prominent endorsements on both sides of the political aisle. He's running against incumbent Judge Gary Creep, who was censured by the State Commission on Judicial Performance. The commission found Judge Creep committed 29 acts of judicial misconduct, demonstrating what they found to be a lack of judicial temperament, and that he ran his courtroom in a manner suggesting bias, including making derogatory comments about women attorneys, minorities, and people with cases before Judge Creep. And he came within one vote of being removed as a judge. So this is a very controversial and a very important race with five people running, including our guest today, Matt Brower. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Miriam. It's an honor to be here, and I very much appreciate you giving the people of San Diego County an opportunity to hear from one of the candidates in this important race.
Thank you for being here. Why did you decide to run to be a judge?
I am a candidate who has been running strong on a daily basis since September. I chose to run after I saw that the Commission on Judicial Performance censured Judge Creep for a number of ethics violations of the Judicial Canon of Ethics. I knew that the people of San Diego County shared my values and that we need to hold all of our civic leaders to a very high standard of ethical conduct. That includes judges. And so since I saw that was not happening on the bench, and being a person who is in court virtually every day and who advocates on behalf of the people in my capacity as a deputy district attorney, I found it to be important that we send a strong challenger to challenge Judge Creep, and that's the reason why I decided to run. I feel as though I can be that strong challenger. I am going to be focused on a daily basis of treating all people with professionalism, dignity, and respect. I think that that's one of these requirements that we need to insist upon as people in our community, and we're not getting it from the incumbent.
Thank you. Now, listeners, judicial canons of ethics prohibit judicial candidates from answering very specific questions on a lot of the things people would love to know about, so we can't ask them their views on, you know, guns or abortion or prior cases before the court, but we can ask some general questions. So here we go. What do you consider to be the most important issue in this race that differentiates you, Matt Brower, from the incumbent and, for that matter, from the other three challengers in this race?
I am somebody who comes to this campaign from a background of being an attorney in the military, specifically a judge advocate in the United States Marine Corps, otherwise known as a JAG officer. I come to this campaign from the perspective of being, like I mentioned, a deputy district attorney, a prosecutor here in San Diego County. Those dual backgrounds have shaped my view of the law, and I continue to practice in both of those two fields. When I look at this race and when I look at the court system and where I think we need the court system to go, I am very attuned to the fact that we need to ensure public safety in our community. That is a bottom line requirement that we need to have. No free society, no vibrant economy can exist without public safety as the bedrock of its foundation. That being said, when we look at our criminal justice system, so many of the crimes that we have that are lower level do deal with substance abuse. I will uphold every provision of the Health and Safety Code as that is the law. I have experience in the district attorney's office working as the representative from the district attorney's office in VISTA to the homeless court program. And I have experience in the other collaborative court systems as well. As a judge, I believe that we have an obligation to try to look at the underlying cause of some of these low-level substance abuse-related crimes. To address that underlying cause, frequently there are mental health issues involved. The collaborative court systems like homeless court and veterans court and drug court that I mentioned are useful tools that the district attorney's office is currently using to great effect and to great positive effect to address the underlying causes of criminality in many of these substance abuse related crimes. And I believe that that is a very positive step that we should take. I feel as though I'm the candidate that has the greatest amount of experience, both in that and also in just criminal law in general.
Very good. Sounds like you think that some compassion should be shown, perhaps, for people who can be rehabilitated, where the underlying problem is mental illness or drug.
So when you use the word compassion, I want to say that the desire to voluntarily participate in a collaborative court program needs to come initially from the defendant who is breaking the law, his or herself. When we look at these collaborative court systems like drug court, homeless court, veterans court, misdemeanor military diversion, we have to look at it from two perspectives. One, and perhaps this feeds into the compassion that you're referencing, is a look at the individual, him or herself. If we can accomplish moving a person from being an active heroin addict or an active methamphetamine addict to being a recovering addict for the rest of his or her life, because that person has thrown themselves into the rehabilitative program that they're going through, oftentimes in a residential treatment facility, then we can accomplish great things in that person's life. They will have done it themselves, and they will have moved from being a recidivist to somebody who no longer has a need to make contact with the criminal justice system anymore, because the underlying cause of the substance abuse will have been addressed. And that, I think, probably feeds into that use of the word compassion. The other viewpoint, though, I think, is on a much broader level. And that is simply, as taxpayers, it is very expensive to maintain this robust system. And if we can move people out of the system from being recidivists in the criminal justice system by using these collaborative systems that we have in place right now, then we can save an enormous amount of money. And so from a financially prudent viewpoint, I believe that it's also something that should be focused upon. I believe myself to be the candidate that is most knowledgeable and has the most working knowledge of these systems.
Okay, very good. Listeners, we should mention there are three other candidates besides Matt Brower, who's with us today, and Gary Creep, the incumbent Superior Court judge. The other candidates are Manuel Torres, an attorney handling civil litigation and judge pro tem in small claims court, Steve Miller, a former assistant U.S. attorney and deputy city attorney, and Tim Nader, the former mayor of Chula Vista and president of Southwestern Community College Board. And listeners, you can also find out more about all of the candidates in this race by visiting eastcountymagazine.org and click on our politics section. Now, it's interesting to note that the San Diego County Bar Association has rated all of these candidates qualified. The only one rated lacking qualifications is the incumbent, Judge Gary Creep. Matt, what do you consider your most important qualifications for the bench?
Well, I am very pleased to see that the San Diego County Bar Association rated me as being qualified to carry out the duties and responsibilities of a Superior Court judge in our court system here in San Diego. I attribute receiving that rating from the bar due to the extensive experience that I have sitting essentially on the bench in preliminary hearings in military court. I've done that on dozens of occasions. It's an impartial role in which in court the prosecution calls witnesses and seeks to offer exhibits in support of very serious felony crimes. The defense attorney, with that attorney's client sitting next to them at the defense table in court, objects to the testimony of the witnesses called and objects to the admissibility of the evidence provided. I rule on those objections. Ultimately, I make determinations. Probable cause exists or does not exist for the case to go forward to a felony jury trial in the military system. That's analogous to what a Superior Court judge does in our system here in California. Many of these cases that I've handled have been the most serious crimes imaginable. Rapes, murders, complex financial embezzlement crimes. And so I believe that I do come to the table from having had that perspective, and that's something that the other candidates just don't have. I also have a significant amount of experience. I'm in court virtually every day, and so I believe that's the reason why I was found qualified.
All right. Can you explain your judicial philosophy and what you believe will make you a good judge?
My judicial philosophy, and I believe that this is a trait that I find most admirable from the judges that I've practiced in front of, is to be a good listener and to be open-minded to the arguments made by counsel. The best judges, in my view, are those that do not come to the table with a closed mind, but rather are willing to listen to the arguments of counsel, knowledgeable about the law themselves, and are then able to make the right decisions based on the law and the arguments that are made by counsel. So what I would hope to do would be, one, to never risk public safety. Two, to be the best listener that I can be and open-minded to the arguments made by counsel. But then thirdly, and this is important if you're going to be a good listener, then do the work required to make sure, the research yourself, to make sure that those arguments are consistent with the law before making a ruling.
Given that the incumbent has been accused of bias on the bench, what in your background demonstrates that you have been able to deal with people from diverse backgrounds in a fair and unbiased manner?
I have worked in very diverse workplaces in my career, my entire adult life. The military is great in that it brings people from every background imaginable and all walks of life together. And we are put in teams and set out to accomplish complicated tasks and missions. We work with people of every background that you can think of. The district attorney's office is similar. It's a very diverse office, and the attorneys that we work with in the defense bar are similarly also very diverse. Many of the witnesses and victims that I work with on a daily basis promoting their interests are also very diverse and come from all walks of life. I've also, in my career, been assigned to many different places around the world. I've been to Iraq. I've been to Afghanistan. I'm currently assigned in the Marine Corps Reserve to Stuttgart, Germany. In my assignments involving more permanent stations, I've been assigned to Virginia, Rhode Island, South Carolina, as well as here in San Diego at Camp Pendleton. So I think it's fair to say that in my adult life, I have had an enormous amount of interactions with lots of different people from lots of different backgrounds, and that's shaped my viewpoint. Many of the mentors that I look to in my career and to this day have been people with backgrounds that are different from mine.
It does sound like you have very broad experience. What would you consider to be the most important case or cases that you've handled, as well as the greatest accomplishment of your legal career?
I have been a prosecutor, and I continue to do that. It's not the only type of legal practice that I've done. I've done a number of different varieties of legal practice. In my role as a prosecutor, I would say that my participation in the Haditha massacre case that took place on Camp Pendleton, the prosecution of that case that took place on Camp Pendleton, was probably the most noteworthy. I participated on the prosecution team in the charges against Staff Sergeant Frank Wooderich for his November 2005 participation in the massacre of a large number, I believe it was 19 Iraqi civilians, in Haditha, Iraq. I was not a member of the trial team. I deployed to Afghanistan, and so I had to leave the trial team. But for 6 months, that was my only case that I was assigned to. It was essentially my only job, and I worked hard through a lot of the pretrial motions practice and just getting our evidence and witnesses lined up so that the ultimate trial team was able to go forward. So I think that's probably the most noteworthy case that I've worked on.
As a prosecutor, you clearly have a lot of experience in the criminal justice system, but what about civil cases and family law that Superior Court judges are often called upon to handle?
Sure. So in the Marine Corps, judge advocates are called upon to do lots of different types of law. One of the assignments that a judge advocate in the Marine Corps can have involves forming attorney-client relationships with service members and veterans who have issues of a civil nature. And these can involve divorces, wills, powers of attorney, consumer law issues, landlord-tenant disputes, and adoptions.
Domestic violence?
Domestic violence is a component, and it is something that is also covered. However, that typically is something that we handle in a different position that judge advocates can hold, and that would be in the military justice system. So when it comes to domestic violence, that's where you're going to find more of the prosecutors and defense attorneys. The type of civil practice that I started mentioning was something typically separate from that, though it does find its way into family law frequently. So I've handled those cases as well. I did that for about a year earlier in my career, and I've gone back to it and done it from time to time as well. I should say that I've also done a significant amount of civil and administrative law as a judge advocate while I was on active duty, dealing with the Freedom of Information Act, the Privacy Act, and many of the other type of administrative ethical reviews that take place when you're representing a command, like a commanding general or a battalion commander. And then now what I'm doing in the reserves in my current assignment is I work in the office of the staff judge advocate in Stuttgart, Germany. It's one of the offices in European command. And I review expenditures of federal funds that go toward our Eastern European allies who train with us and who need financial support frequently. And as an attorney, a judge advocate in the Marine Corps, my review just ensures that the expenditure of those funds is done consistently with the law. And those monies are important because many of these small countries do need our support in the face of the Russian threat that exists in Eastern Europe.
Yeah, very important job there. How do you balance personal views that you may hold with enforcing the laws and being fair to everyone? And are there any types of cases in which you have conflicts of interest where you might need to recuse yourself?
I don't believe that there are any cases now that I can see that would involve any conflicts of interest without perhaps something that would directly affect me or my family, and I can't envision anything like that that would come up. I try to maintain a strong professional relationship with all those that I work with, and so I can't envision that there would be any need for a recusal.
What about the part about balancing personal views and the law?
The law and enforcing the law is paramount. I'm proud to be law enforcement's choice in this race. I've received the endorsement of the San Diego County Sheriff's Association and the Police Officer Associations for the City of San Diego, as well as many of the different cities around the county, like Chula Vista and La Mesa, National City, Coronado, Oceanside, the Harbor Police, and two of the school police associations. It's important to keep in mind that a large part of the reason why I receive those endorsements is because I share the values that they have, which is that we need to make sure that we are consistent with the law. One of the reasons why the city attorney's office lost trust and confidence in Gary Creep and refused to permit their deputies, this is the second largest prosecutorial agency in the county, the city attorney's office, refused to present their cases in front of Judge Creep was because they did not believe that he was following the law. And I pledge to follow the law, and I think that's important.
Very important. And I noticed that you have other prominent endorsements, quite a diverse range here. You have, as you mentioned, many of the law enforcement groups. You also have the San Diego County Democratic Party, as well as prominent office holders on both sides of the aisle, such as Republican Supervisor Diane Jacob and La Mesa Mayor Mark Arapostathis, another Republican, as well as Democrats Shirley Weber, our Assemblywoman, and Lemon Grove Mayor Raquel Vasquez. So I think that says a lot when a candidate has been able to draw a broad base of support.
I'm a proud member of the Democratic Party. I don't look at party labels when I seek out endorsements from office holders. I'm mainly looking for people who I believe would share my values. I mentioned what those are earlier, and that we need to have a law-abiding community that prioritizes public safety and addresses the underlying causes of criminality. If a Republican likes that message, wonderful. I would love to have you on my team. If a Democrat likes that message, I will extend my hand to that person as well. I would hope that that's a universal message, and that's, I think, the reason why people from many different walks of life have given me such great support in this race.
How fair do you believe that our justice system is for minorities and the poor and other disadvantaged people, and should more be done to assure equitable treatment of all?
We can never just sit back and say that the current system in which we're in is perfect. There is always going to be room for and a need for becoming and reaching that ever more perfect union. And that includes here at the local community as well, here in San Diego County. We need to make sure that when we are sitting in judgment of cases, that we are mindful both of the type of explicit bias that was manifest in Judge Creep's first term, as well as the implicit bias that sometimes can come into or creep into the courtroom that is not necessarily conscious bias.
Yeah, good point.
And explicit bias would be the sort of overt racism or sexism that is apparent to all. The implicit bias is more difficult to identify, and we need to make sure that we are cognizant that that is also a problem and needs to be addressed as well.
What do you believe are the most important changes or reforms that you would like to see our justice system in California have? There's certainly been budget cuts and all sorts of pressures on the court system in recent years, for example.
I would like to see more funding for beds and residential treatment facilities from the county for those cases for which those beds would be appropriate. And I went over what those cases were earlier.
Drug addiction and mentally ill and the homeless.
There are a number of different types of collaborative courts. You have homeless court. And so with respect to the homeless, that would be one that would be applicable. You also have drug court and veterans court, and the life circumstances of the individual defendant are going to drive which of those collaborative courts are appropriate to address what that person's criminological needs are.
What else would you like our listeners to know about yourself and your candidacy for Superior Court judge?
I'm somebody who is committed to treating all people with professionalism, dignity, and respect. I believe that that is a refreshing requirement in light of the conduct of the incumbent in this race. It's something that the voters of San Diego should insist upon, and I hope that you will select me, knowing that that's how I will be conducting myself on the bench. I pledge to uphold the law, to ensure public safety, and also to attempt to address the underlying causes of many of the low-level substance abuse cases that we have.
Where can people find more about you and your candidacy?
At www.mattbrower.com.
And that's B-R-O-W-E-R. And listeners, you can also find out more about Mr. Brower and all of the candidates in this race by visiting eastcountymagazine.org and click on our politics section. We have been speaking with Matt Brower, candidate for Superior Court Judge in seat 37 in San Diego County. And I want to thank you, Matt, for joining us today on the East County Magazine show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
Thank you for having me, Miriam.